I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to another episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your sonic storyteller, and today we've got a special treat for you. It's the one and only Brian Seller, frontman extraordinaire of the New Jersey folk punk band, The Front Bottoms. Now get ready because The Front Bottoms are gearing up for their triumphant return to Australia this April, armed with their latest sonic offering, You Are Who You Hang Out With. It is their 8th studio record, and let me tell you, it's nothing short of a musical masterpiece. Now, in today's episode, we're catching up with Brian to chat about the band's highly anticipated comeback down under, and of course, the age-old tradition of the shoey. We'll also be diving deep into the creative process behind their latest record, exploring how they pushed the boundaries and experimented with their sound this time around. We'll also be pulling back the curtain on Brian's songwriting techniques, uncovering the stories behind these new songs, and getting an insider's look at the magic that fuels the Front Bottoms' signature sound. Now we want to give a massive shout out to Thomas for helping orchestrate today's interview. So whether you're a diehard Front Bottoms fan or just discovering their music for the first time, we're going to dive deep into the world of the band today. Before we do, however, please make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your favorite podcast platform. Keep up with us on social media and see what guests we have coming up. All the details are waiting for you in today's show notes. So thank you for joining us once again, and let's get into our conversation with Brian Seller from The Front Bottoms. You feel better, that's the point. You feel better, that's the point. You feel better. Welcome to This Song Is Yours from The Front Bottoms, Brian Seller. Brian, hello. How are you going?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, very good. Very good.
Where are we chatting to you today? Whereabouts are we finding you in the world?
We are in New Jersey at my house.
Beautiful. How is it in New Jersey at this time of year, actually?
It's pretty crappy, to be honest. It's cold and dreary.
That is not ideal. I can imagine it's, yeah, probably not a lot of fun.
No, it's not a lot of fun, but I've been in a hot tub. I got a hot tub, so I've been chilling in a hot tub. So that's okay.
Look, I feel like that makes most situations better. I feel like most things are improved by a hot tub being present. Brian, thank you very much for joining us from New Jersey. It's an incredibly kind of exciting time because you are going to be trading in some of that weather for some hotter Australian weather come April and coming back to join us here in Australia.
I cannot wait, man. I'm so excited.
I know that we're looking forward to having you back. I think it has been a few years since we've seen you, and I know that this is a huge run of shows. I think some of these venues are much bigger upgrades than the last tour. I guess, firstly, do you have any kind of core memories of those previous Australian tours?
Absolutely. I mean, definitely a lot of really, really fantastic memories. I'm trying to think, I think it was like 2017 or 2018, the last time we were there. Mm-hmm. I remember doing some shoeys on stage. you know, I just remember the shows being like a lot of really good energy and just having a lot of fun.
We weirdly do have an obsession with the shoey, so I apologize for that. But also, if you do enjoy it, then I'm glad that we can help facilitate that. It does seem like an odd tradition that our country has.
I didn't know if, like, people were just messing around with me and, like, because I was doing them on stage, like, every night and, like, everybody's cheering me on and stuff. And then, I like, in my head, I was like, oh, man, like, I hope I don't look like an idiot on stage. Like, I know I looked like an idiot anyway, but I was just like, I hope this isn't like just something they tell, like, you know, people that come over here. They're like, yeah, drink a beer out of your shoe. But it is a real thing. You're telling me it's, you guys do it over there regularly.
It is a, it is, for whatever reason, it is a real thing. People right, celebrating cool. any kind of occasion. It's, gonna, a, it's liquid into the it. Shoe. Well, we look forward to choosing a shoe with you when you come down
yes.
and join us. I'm very excited. I know a lot of people are for this tour. It is in support of last year's Brilliant. You Are Who You Hang Out With. It is, firstly, congratulations on this record. It's a brilliant record.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I feel like, you know, we worked really hard on it and I am very proud of it.
Of course, and as you should be. I know this is, I think it was the 8th studio record for yourself and the band. I wonder, do nerves still come into play at all for you guys these days when you're releasing new music, or is it kind of, you're used to it now? It's kind of like old hat.
Yeah, I think we're used to it at this point, definitely, especially for, you know, releasing new music. Maybe like playing live, you still get a little bit nervous before the show, but when it comes to releasing music, it's like, you know, a lot of people miss the point, you know, and they'll hear new music and they'll be like, this sucks, you know, or this, I don't like this, but you know, that's just not the point. And, you know, so it's just all a good vibe and stuff. So whenever, like, I feel we release, you know, something creative into the world, it's a positive thing.
100%.
So kind of like,
sorry, go ahead.
The nerves, you know. No, that kind of, it's like a righteous cause, you know, so it kind of like, it's like nothing to be nervous about.
100%. I can very much appreciate that. I feel that obviously 8 albums into a career, you're always going to have people who have their own thoughts or opinions on the record. I know that for yourselves, kind of evolving the band's sound or trying new things has kind of always been on the card, which I think is a very admirable thing to do as a band. And I know for this record, it did kind of change the sound a little bit, or you guys kind of mix things up a bit. When you're trying new things in the studio, what's the kind of catalyst to head in the direction that you're going to take? What makes you decide, yeah, you know what, this is what we're going to try for this record?
Well, you know, if you're lucky, there's always a moment that everybody kind of looks at each other and sort of like nods. And that's like a special moment. And, you know, usually that'll happen in the studio. Like I said, if you're lucky and you just kind of chase that feeling, it's really all about just chasing like a good feeling. And if something sounds good, if something sounds like unique, you know, you don't really need to explain why. You just got to kind of like chase after it.
100%. Has there been times within the studio, I think that I know this one kind of pushes that sound a little bit, and I know that previous records, I think Going Grey was more like a synth-based record for yourselves. We've spoken to artists about this before on this podcast, and it's with obviously no disrespect to any fans, but when it comes to the creation process, the conversation that we've had is that it obviously has to be good for the fans, but also has to keep yourself and your bandmates engaged, and it has to keep it interesting for you guys, or else you're kind of just almost doing the photocopy version of the same thing time and time again.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the true fans really do appreciate that, and really do appreciate when, you know, there's some experimentation, or, you know, because there's always the old stuff to listen to and the new stuff to listen to. So I think that, yeah, like the people that get it can really like really enjoy it, for sure.
100%. Has there ever been a moment where you've experimented too far, where you've gone too far with the sound that you're like, oh, maybe that's not us?
Oh, absolutely. But you know, that's part of the process as well, and that's usually like very early on in the process.
If you indulge me in such, Brian, I'd love to know kind of like what the process is for yourself. Like when you're inspired and when you kind of get an idea for a song, how does that process usually play out? Like, are you someone who will hear a melody line first, or do you have like a notes app full of kind of different lines of songs or lyrics?
Yeah, exactly. I have a, you know, a big notes app. I think that's kind of the way to do it. And I just kind of jot down, you know, all day long, or whenever I get inspired, like phrases or things that sound unique, like physically to say. And then I just have like all those notes down. And usually I'll let the words like make the melody. And then it's just kind of about trying to find like some clunky guitar part to put behind it, like for me. And then I try to figure out like another part. And usually I'll write the song in parts. So I'll write like one part and then I'll have, you know, a bunch of parts. And then eventually one part will just lyrically make sense with another part. And it's usually lyrically, because I do kind of approach it from like a poet's standpoint. And when I'm writing, I'll be writing like all of these parts at the same time, and not intentionally, but just kind of naturally, they'll all have like the same themes, or they'll have like the same emotional connection. So things will just kind of start to fit together naturally. And that's kind of how I do it. I just kind of like, I let the words make the melody. Or, you know, it could go the other way around. And I usually start with words, but I could be playing guitar, or like, you know, sitting at a piano. And like, you know how it is. If you hear a chord, sometimes you just can't explain it. You're like, oh, okay, I'm going to like play that one over and over again. And then you'll find the second one. And then all of a sudden there's like a four chord thing you have. And then at that point, that's when you go into the notes app. And, you know, I feel fortunate. I've been like kind of really relying on my feelings and my emotions. So a lot of times it just makes sense, you know, like a lyric will make sense with four chords just because of the feeling of it. And, you know, just kind of nurturing that and like staying creative. And that's kind of what it's always been about. And like being human, you know, like kind of understanding that it's,
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's going to be like kind of a flawed thing that you come up with, but that's like also the point.
I did kind of love that. I'm curious, has that always been the process for yourself? Like what originally got you into songwriting back in the day?
Yeah, totally. I think it was... I always kind of would write and just kind of like free write. And I still do kind of like spend a lot of time free writing. And when I was younger, that's basically was where it came from. Just kind of like having journals and stuff, and then getting a guitar, and then hanging out with people that were like starting a band, basically Matt. And then we started a band. And then that's kind of, you know, just kind of how it developed. And that's always how it was. Like, I wasn't in like 10 bands, and Matt wasn't in a bunch of bands. It was like, we just kind of specifically found each other and kind of put this together, like, sort of like, you know, meant to be or whatever.
I do love that. With this latest record, I was wondering if you might indulge us. We are, yeah, as you can probably guess, primarily a songwriting podcast. I was wondering if you would be able to walk us through one of my favorite songs on the latest record. I really loved Brick, which kind of comes at the tail end of the record. I was wondering if you might be able to talk us through like how that song came about, or the creation of that song.
Totally. That one in particular developed over a very like kind of long period of time, and there was a lot of experimentation, in particular with the piano. And for a long time, I remember me and Matt just kind of getting into the room when we had like more or less the final version of it. And we had Eric Romero, who is our guy who he engineers, like when we have want to get demos or something like that. He plays most of the instruments on the album and he plays guitar with us live. He's awesome. And we'd basically have him play the song and I would play the piano. I'm not very good at piano, so it kind of be kind of loose, and Matt would play the drums, and that's how we get kind of those extra sounds in there. And the development of the song, I'm trying to think, really it was that lyric, like, find a brick, write my name on it. And it was like, I was talking about, you know, when, I don't know if you'll know about, or you know what I'm talking about, but like sometimes like at a library or something, they'll have a thing where you can donate money to the library and they'll put like your family's name like on the brick and they'll put it like in the driveway. Yeah. So like that was kind of like the inspiration for that lyric. And then like, you know, that just kind of how it develops. And I'm trying to think of some other, that was one of the ideas where it was like, I was in the studio and I had the chorus and I was kind of like singing it over and over again. And I was like, why don't I just sing it a cappella and then we could put like the chords around it. I basically had Eric play the guitar chords around it. So that's, you know, like a bunch of different little techniques that we experimented with that song.
I absolutely love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. I do appreciate you kind of talking us through it. As mentioned right at the top, you're coming back in April for a run of shows. I know along with this album, there's one or two other releases, I think, in the time since you've been here. How do you determine what's going to make the set list for when you're coming back to a country that you kind of haven't played in a while and you want to be able to showcase both this album, You Are Who You Hang Out With, but also I think there was another EP and another album before that. So yeah, how do you find that balance in picking the songs?
Absolutely. It's a process, you know, it is a process. And every night, basically before the show, me and Matt and the band will sit down and Matt will, on his laptop, will basically discuss the set list and, you know, what went good last night, what went didn't do good the other night. And we are a band that will switch up the set list every night just because it's like kind of important for our own like sanity. So, yeah, that's basically how it happens. You know, we'll just kind of, you know, go through it and, you know, change it up. And we'll probably, you know, also we always play like a lot of songs. So like a lot of different songs from a lot of different albums. That's just like as a band. So that's kind of always how we've done it. We've never been a band that's like, oh, we released this album, so we're just going to only play that album. So it's kind of always been like part of the process. But yeah, we're definitely going to give the people what they want. You know, when we come to Australia, we're going to play all the hits.
That's very exciting to hear. has there been a song from the new record? Because it's always interesting, like, and we've spoken to some artists about this, when you release an album and kind of when it's in the studio and a song is one thing, and then when you take it on the road, sometimes it kind of turns into a whole different thing, whether that's the arrangement, whether it's like a reaction that you weren't expecting for a certain song. Has there been a song from the most recent record, from last year's album, that kind of has surprised you in terms of its live reaction or how you've kind of perceived the song in its live environment?
Totally. I mean, a song like Paris, which is like definitely a slower song for us, when we play it in the set, it like, you know, it's, you use it as like, okay, let's like calm everything down now. And that was a song that I was like, oh, wow, everybody's really vibing to this song. And you can kind of see the audience sway into it. And, you know, that's kind of like a cool vibe.
Absolutely love that. Well, I know that there are a lot of people in Australia excited to see. As I mentioned, I think you're doing a full tour. You're coming, we're based in Adelaide, which I'm not sure if you've played previously. I know you've done the East Coast a few times, but I'm very excited that there, it's a full run of dates for this tour. Ryan, what we would usually do is ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's kind of on high rotation for yourself?
Let me have a look at my phone real quick. I've been listening to Pronoun. That was a band that I came across. And you know what? I've been listening to this thing where they send you a new album every day. but it's like classical.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's like classic albums. It's like based off a book. It's like 1001 albums you should listen to before you die. So basically every morning they send you like the Wikipedia link and the Spotify link. And so today was like, so that's basically what I've been doing every morning when I wake up, just trying to like listen to music that I basically know that I should know. Like today was Otis Redding, Sing Soul. So the Otis Blue, that album, I never listened to this album. I know Otis Redding obviously, but I never listened to this album. So it's just like a good opportunity to like listen to new stuff that I haven't really heard, like Leonard Cohen, or I'm trying to think other ones that I've been getting, Nina Simone, or like Simon and Garfunkel, or even the Rolling Stones, like That Bleed. That's like, I really have no interest in listening to that album, but it's important, you know, in the history of music. And when I listen to it, I'm like, wow, there's like a lot of hits on here. I get it, you know, like the Stooges and like Stevie Wonder, like the Go-Go's. I'm just reading through like an Iron Maiden album, Alice Cooper. So that's basically how I've been going about it.
I kind of love that though. That's sick. That sounds like a really cool service, or I'm not sure where you've signed up to that for, but that sounds kind of awesome to be able to take some of the guesswork out of like what you're going to listen to, but also revisit some of those like building blocks of like popular music, I guess.
Absolutely. Like the fundamentals. And like, you know, it's hard to, sometimes I'm like, I wish somebody would just tell me about an album that like I'm going to hate, you know, like call me and be like, here's an album and you're going to hate it, but it's going to be important for you to listen to it, cause it's like, it's an important piece of art, you know? And so that's the kind of the mindset that I go into it with. Not that I'm going to hate it, but just that it's important to listen to something that, you know, I never listened to before.
100%. And look, I'm curious, and if you'd like, you don't have to name it. You don't have to dox them. Has there been an album so far that has been critically acclaimed and recommended and that you've listened to and been like, nah, it's not really it?
Oh, let me think for a second. Honestly, no, not really, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, like I was...
Pretty good strike rate.
Yeah, you know, like I was saying, like, I always try to approach it with, like... Actually, wait, dude, let me take that back real quick. Because there is like, you know, there's some stuff that's like very experimental that I'm like, oh, wow, this is pretty experimental. Like something like one of these albums that are gonna, like Syd Barrett, you know him?
Okay, yeah.
Like his album, you know, like I listened to that and I was like, I know that, you know, like I understand it's critically acclaimed, but that was something that I was just like, no, I'll skip this one next time, you know? I feel bad even saying that. That's crazy.
No, I know what you mean though. It's a thing of a number of these records are extremely popular. And as we've said, like they've kind of been a touchstone in pop culture and music history, but like you can't have 30 to 40 or 1001 as the book is, like albums resonate with every single person. There are going to be some that are just not for you. And that's totally fair as well.
100%. Okay. Wait, dude, how about this one? The Birthday Party. That's an Australian thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never heard of them or anything like that, but I got that album one day and I was like, I thought it was horrible.
But some of their stuff.
It's like very popular, right?
So that band like kind of formed Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds from there. And so it's almost like they pushed through that to get to a better stage. So some of that earlier stuff I will agree with, I might not revisit time and time again.
It was album was it? It was Junkyard.
Yeah.
It looks like a classic album. Like I recognize the album cover and everything like that. And then I listened to it. I was like, oh wow, this feels like art music to me.
Yeah. Yes, very spot on.
Well, yeah, right on.
That's incredible. Brian, thank you so much for sharing that. I absolutely love that. Again, very excited to see yourself and the Front Bottoms down here in April in Australia. Tickets are on sale now. We'll make sure that they're available in this podcast for people to buy. But thank you very much for coming onto the podcast. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thank you very much. And I'll see you over there.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.